Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
All right, welcome back. Ladies and gentlemen, don't go anywhere. A little later in this half hour,
right,
you will hear former Phillies manager Gabe Kapler tackle the big issue of the day.
Oh.
If you are wearing a beard, do you also have a mustache?
I miss him.
He will, Al, he will attack it with in-depth with a reporter in the dugout. And this is why he's more fun than that robot Joe Girardi will ever be.
Love it.
And I'm ripping him, Al, after Girardi finally won a series.
Yeah,
he won a series. But we do have a rather large game tonight here in Philadelphia. You know how I know it's a big game, Al? It's about best-selling author Yaron Weitzman.
Yeah.
Tanking to the top.
Yeah.
He will be in attendance tonight.
Nice.
And you know what that makes me think? Weitzman is working on a sequel. Hi, Yaron!
Sequel. That's news to me.
Hold on, Yaron. That book was very successful. It was a great book. Are you going to write another one?
What's this one going to be called?
Well, I don't know. You're the author. I just figured you'd do more on it.
It was a terrific failed book. That's what I want.
The process failed.
There you go. All right. People need a happy ending. The happy ending might be out. I guess we'll see what happens.
All right. Well, let's see what happens. How big a blow would it be, Yaron, as somebody who chronicled the whole tanking era in Philadelphia? How big a blow would it be if in this one of Embiid's true prime years, they were ousted in the second round again?
Yeah. I mean, it's not great. The whole thing is you want to take advantage of the guys, the stars you have in the prime. And we know with Embiid and James Harden, you know, they had a legit shot this year if Embiid was healthy. I think you would agree as well, right?
Oh, without a doubt, yes. But now I'm harboring many doubts.
No, rightfully so. I mean, the Embiid thing, you know, I'm not an Embiid apologist. It's just this season he's been fantastic. The fact that I'm shocked that he was able to play the way he did, he came back the way he did, and perform at the level. He might be, like, I think you can make, it's not even a hot take. Like, I don't know. Healthy, is he the best player in the NBA? I think I might say yes, right? If you're asking, like, one game to go, he might be the guy I would choose. So he's just fantastic. And when they were all healthy, with Embiid healthy, and it kind of listed Harden, and Harden could be sort of a point guard, and Maxey, and they all fit together, this was a championship-caliber team. And you don't want to lose. It hurts, and it's tough to lose that ability or that opportunity because of some injury.
Your own. Sure. You know Embiid. You were here when they tanked to get him. Explain game five to us. We saw 3 and 4 and how he got back out there and helped his team win. We don't understand game five.
I would say, I don't know. How's that for a take? I don't know. But, I mean, I think we got to come a little slack. Like, I heard somebody, who was it? I think Zach Lowe on ESPN had a great line where he's like, it's like the Monty Python skit where they keep cutting off different limbs and the guy keeps saying, I'm okay. Right? That's kind of where Embiid's at, right? We had the thumb and then the orbital fracture and a concussion and then he fell on the back. It's like, I feel like the guy needs to be put in, like, one of those chambers for 2 weeks without, after the season's over, and just not move, right? And recover. So I'm going to cut him a little slack. And the concussion thing is weird. As someone who's like, I've had a couple concussions, which I'm sure you could tell based on talking to me.
Yes, I could.
Yeah, exactly. Like, those mess with you in weird ways. And, like, you have good days and bad days. And it just, I don't know. I'm going to cut slack with anyone coming back from a concussion. And to be honest, I was pretty surprised he came back as fast as he did from those concussions.
All right, Yaron, did he get shafted in the MVP voting?
No, not shafted. The MVP conversation has been, like, you know, Could he have won? He had an MVP caliber season, yes. So did Giannis. So did Jokic. Like, there was no wrong answer. There was no wrong answer among the three. And the idea that, like, we're going to say one. They're all great. They were all fantastic. So I don't want to say Chef. He had an MVP-level season, but Jokic was fantastic, too. I know people, there's been a narrative out there that's just fancy stats, which I guess is true, but what is it? The points, rebounds, and assists are not fancy stats. Those are basic box score stats, and Jokic is there. Listen, like, Embiid, there's no player, I don't think there's another player in the NBA who is essential to everything his team does on offense and defense, right? Embiid led league in scoring and is basically a top five defensive player, and that's the argument. But Jokic was great this year, so I don't see Shaq did, but he could have won it for sure.
All right, here's what I need to know. You were there for all this. So the Sixers acquired Jimmy Butler, and Jimmy Butler is a catalyst. And you're seeing now how he's leading the Heat. He is the heart and soul of that team. Can you explain to me how it didn't work out here and how the Sixers let him go when they knew what he could provide to them?
Yeah, the Butler one is it's a fascinating, you know, one of those fork in the road stuff moments. So, couple things, right? I think I've written this before, but one, Simmons' camp will say, made it clear that they weren't so keen on Butler being brought back. If you remember, this was after the Toronto series, and Brett Brown had basically made a decision to put Simmons on the dunker spot down into the basket and basically hand the keys of the offense to Butler, right? Butler was basically the point guard, which we can all agree, in hindsight, and then at the time as well, was the right decision.
Right.
So Simmons didn't necessarily love that. There was also the idea that, and this might be a little silly, but like if Butler was brought back, him and Brett Brown weren't exactly the best of friends, right? So if you brought him back, the chances were that Brown wasn't going to make it through the year. Brown had no issues. Brown made clear that he was cool and wanted Butler back if he could handle anything, but I think management was a little concerned about that. This was also the Al Horford became available, which I guess if Al Horford looked like he did now, as opposed to the past 2 years, that would have been a good deal. But the Butler thing's funny. Like, I've heard a story that basically people from Butler's camp told Josh Harris at a conference call that he was making a mistake, that by letting Butler go, he was going to break up a championship team, and then it wouldn't work out with Ben, and Butler was going to win in Miami, and Embiid wasn't going to be happy. And it sort of all came to fruition. So
Brett Brown was in charge then. He was even making personnel decisions. He had just brought in Elton Brand. Does Brett Brown have the same evaluation if he's not personal friends with Ben Simmons' family? Is that a factor in why he favored Simmons over Butler?
Yeah, I don't think he was even favoring Simmons over Butler. Like, I don't think by the end, like, I don't know that the, I'm not going to say there's an issue. I don't know that there's a personal, like, I don't know that this was a Simmons Brown family, like, they were having, like, barbecue together, right? I don't think there are issues, but I don't think that played a role. Again, Brown was okay having, Brown made clear to management that he was okay having Butler back. And I'll say this, Embiid has been a bit of revisionist history from Embiid. Like, he said a few times that he wanted Butler back, and he said, I think it was this year, he said that was a mistake. We left Butler go for Simmons. My understanding, he did not make that explicitly clear at the time.
Like, Ron, hold on. Back, yeah. Stop. I'm going to fight with you now. All right? Because an author, but I think you have great respect for Keith Pompey, who covers the Sixers for the Acquirer. He wrote,
no, that guy's a bum.
He wrote that not only did Brett Brown not want to bring back Butler, but that he called other players on the team to get them to support his decision to favor Simmons over Butler. That he was so insecure about having to deal with Butler that he tried to get the team on his side. That is not a guy who wanted to coach Butler. Your information on this is incorrect.
Listen, I guess we can do it. I respect Keith. I have, let's say, different information. How about that? Maybe that's true. Maybe both could be true. How about that? Let's reconcile, right? But Brown might have been calling players, but my understanding is his management is that he made clear, like, no, nah, I can handle it. I want to win.
All right, listen, Yaron, there's only one last question here, and it's critical because it would lead to a sequel book by you, all right?
Okay.
If the tanking era leads to zero championships, who do I blame first? Who's the number one person to blame?
Who is the number one? If it leads to zero championships, there's some good options there. You can go.
Come on.
I know you want to go Hinkie. The Colangelos. You got to throw the Colangelos in there, too. They were some. We're kind of giving them a pass. God, blame.
Say
I don't
it.
Know. Let's blame.
Say it. Say it.
What do you want me to say? Hinky? Is that
no,
the answer?
No, Hinky was fine. He did a fine job.
Oh, stop it.
And even Colangelo had to. Come on, say it. Brett Brown, say it, Weitzman.
Brett Brown,
that loser. He's brought in here to lose, and that's all he did was lose. Say it, yeah, Weitzman.
Brett Brown, that's a good one. That's off the board. I like right. that. Brett Brown's like the middle manager who gets caught, like, in, you know, that guy, like, I don't think he was, I wouldn't say he's an amazing coach, but, like, I don't know, that guy was trotted out there to put out, you know, debacle after debacle, weird, you know, yicks that can't shoot and strange injuries and dancing shirtless, and Brett Brown has to be trotted out and burner accounts, and Brett Brown keeps trotting out there, being asked to answer for it. I don't know, I have some sympathy for him.
Your own Weitzman, once again, annoying Philadelphia. welcome to our city tonight, your own. Always a pleasure. Take it to the top. Read it. It's awesome. Thanks, your own.
Thanks.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.